But this morning, I have a message. I feel like God's speaking this, and this is what I was praying about last night, and came across some things and put some things together, and also looked up something and used kind of a grid to go off of, and then it springboarded into something else and ended all back up into one scripture passage and story. And God highlighted these things to me. Mark chapter 5:21. Again, Mark 5:21-34. If you guys want to turn there, I'll read this passage, and what I want to highlight some stuff out of this, and particularly one point above all. So Mark chapter 5 and verse 21 is the girl that was restored to life and a woman healed. Particularly the woman that was healed with the issue of blood is this story that, or what happened. But I want to read this. Now when Jesus had crossed over again by boat on the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. So let me highlight something here. Verse 21, he crossed over and a great multitude gathered to him. Okay? And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and he begged him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, and she may be healed, and she will live." So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him. Okay? So they gathered, then they followed him. And they thronged, it says in the King James or New King James that they thronged him, which just means they pressed him. They were all around him and kind of pressing up against him, kind of pushing. Now a certain woman, so he's on his way to this little girl, and a certain woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years, so she had an issue and a disease, something going on there. And for 12 years she had struggled with this, and it said had suffered many things from many physicians who had tried to help her. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around to the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to him, "You see the multitude pressing you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" But his disciples said to him, And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and said to him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed." So four things here. The crowd gathered. The crowd followed. The crowd pressed him, pressing up against him because he was going to heal, and he healed, and he done miracles, signs, and wonders. That's why they gathered, because he did all these supernatural things, and they were coming to see what would happen. They were interested. I mean, that draws a crowd, and we all know that a crowd draws a crowd, right? So they gathered, see what was going on. Then they followed him where he was going because they were interested. They wanted to see what he would do, what would happen. And in that, because he was healing and doing miracles and all of that, and I'm sure, I mean, you got to think, this is a crowd. She could not have been, there's no way, she was the only one that was sick. She was not the only one who needed something from God, something from Jesus. But she was the only one that it says got something. Got healed. She got healed of her disease. What did she do different than the rest of the crowd? She gathered. She followed. She pressed. They all did. She touched. That was the thing she did different. She touched him. Even Darius in the story said, if you'll just come and lay your hands on my daughter, she'll be healed. If you'll just come and touch my daughter, she'll be healed. The lady pressed through the crowd and said within herself, if I can only touch, I'll be made well. And she was. You know, there's a lot to be said and illustrated in this story, but the main thing is this. A lot of us, all of us can do that. I mean, we're no different than the crowd. We're no different than people back then. But what is different is there are some of us who want to, or are just like the crowd and want to be like everybody else, and we'll gather. We'll even follow because it's interesting. Even press a little. Well, I want a little bit of that. I want something. But there's those of us who receive something from Jesus, whether it's a healing, whether it's a miracle, or it's a sign, it's a wonder, it's salvation, whatever it is, we're willing to touch Him. We desire something more. There is a desire. And if we don't have it, we can ask for it. But there is a difference. Jesus Himself said, many are called, but few are chosen. Because there's a crowd thing. We'll gather because something's going on. We'll even go to church. We're following. We'll even get involved in things because we're pressing in. But there's something more. I don't want to just follow. I don't want to just gather. I don't even want to just press in a little bit every now and then. I want more. I want to touch Him. That's an intimacy level. That is, there's more. And there's faith in that. The faith is I can't see Him. He's not sitting in front of me like Jared. I can't walk up and put my hand on His shoulder. But His Holy Spirit is nonetheless real right here, right now, in this room, and able to be touched. And carrying the same properties and the same freedom, the same healings, the same miracles, the same everything that Jesus was carrying when He walked through that crowd. What's the difference? Not God. It's whether or not we are just at the place in our heart and mind where we're following, gathering, even pressing in, going one step further than everybody else. The difference is those of us who desire, and I believe it can be all of us, it's a choice to get the desire to be willing to press through, to follow, to gather around Him, to follow, to press in, and then to go to the extreme and say, I want to touch Him. That's an intimate thing. That's a deeper level. It's deeper in the heart. I want more than just the norm. You know what? I don't think it's even wrong to say, I want more than what everybody else has got. Does that sound selfish? Yeah. Was she selfish when she pressed through the crowd and touched the hem of His garment? She pressed through the crowd. She gathered like they did. She followed like they did. She pressed them like they did. But what did she do different? She went through everybody to get up there and touch Him. You know what? You got to picture this. That could not have been a pretty sight. I mean, she's not well, right? And the crowd is following him and they're pressing him, right? They're pushing on him. You can't tell me she didn't have to throw some elbows and do some pushing to get to him. Because that's what everybody in that crowd wanted. But she was not strong. She was a lady who was sick. There were men in that crowd. There were people in that crowd who mostly were well. And they were touching him. But what was the difference? The difference is she knew in her heart that if she touched him, she would be made well. There was faith in her heart. And that faith and that desire to touch him for more. See, she didn't just believe. Her believing caused her to fight through that crowd. To do whatever it took to get to him, to touch the hem of his garment. If I have faith and I believe that there's more to God than just Sunday to Sunday, if I believe that there's more to God than Sunday to Wednesday even, if I believe that there's more to God than just I'm a Christian and reading my Bible a little bit and praying, then I'm going to be willing to do a little more. Not a little more, a lot more. She had to press through that crowd and she had to fight and push and throw elbows and whatever she had to do to get to him, to touch him, to receive that healing. The Holy Spirit. See, here's the thing. We don't have to fight through a crowd physically to touch him. We don't. The Holy Spirit is right here, right now. The same power, the same things that rested in Jesus rest in him. He is him. They're one. Everything we need is in him. The relationship with God. Freedom from our issues, freedom from our sin, freedom from our diseases, our sicknesses. All of those things are wrapped up in him. It's all about whether or not I'm willing to gather, follow, press in, and go further than those things, than what everybody else does, and touch him. I want to touch him. I want something to happen. I want to be not just saved. I want to be set free. I don't want to struggle with my issues anymore. I don't want to struggle with this sin. I don't want to struggle with looking at this, looking at that, doing this, doing that. And then feeling horrible afterward. She struggled with an issue of blood, but we struggle with issues of sin. That doesn't mean she didn't. It just means she was willing to go a step further than everyone else and believe that if I touch him, I get set free, I get healed. It's no different right now, right here, today. The only difference is it's easier. I don't have to fight a crowd. I don't have to throw elbows. I don't have to push nobody down. I don't have to step on nobody. I don't have to climb over no shoulders. I don't have to slap nobody. I don't have to walk a long way. I just got to have a heart's desire to touch him. And believe that if I have a heart's desire to touch him, that when I do, I'm free. That when I do, I'm healed. That when I do, something happens. Everything changes. I've told this story before in previous sermons, but it's been quite a while ago, and there's different people here today, but I think this is a good illustration of that desire, that heart's desire to go after something. And before I tell the story, let me say this. You know, I'm not a hunter. Okay? Not a hunter. I don't know a whole lot about it. I mean, I know basics like anyone else would. But I know hunters, when deer season comes around, that they're like hardcore serious hunters, and they're gone. They go out super early in the morning. They put out the corn. They make their spot. They do all these things, and they'll sit there for hours on end waiting for that buck to come along or that deer to come along. And they put all this effort into that. I don't like getting up early in the morning. Not many people do. There are a few. My son is one of them. It's been a lot of work to keep him from waking us up, and he still does. But he wakes up with a smile on his face, chipper, ready to go. But most people do not wake up that way. I'm not one of those. My daughter is not one of those. So that's effort. For what? For a deer. God Almighty is before us. Healing is there. Freedom, love, joy, peace, all of the great and awesome things is right there. Just like people were really impressed. He's invisible, but we can touch him. We can experience him. We can feel his presence. Our whole life can change with one touch from him. But the issue is this. The issue is not whether he's willing. He's always willing. The scripture teaches us he's always there. He always wants to. But what's the difference? Well, you look at the stories. That wasn't the only crowd that pressed him. That wasn't the only big group that was around him, and only one person got touched. Case in point, the Pool of Bethesda. He walked through there, he touched one man and healed him. They didn't say anything about anybody else getting touched or healed. That man couldn't get up to get in the pool in time. He was physically disabled. So every time it says in that story, someone else would get there first, which means there were other people who could get up and move quickly to get in the water, but they didn't get up and move quickly to get to Jesus when he was there, better than an angel, better than a stirring of the water, and they witnessed him heal the man. Doesn't say anything about that. The issue is our heart. The issue's with us. Are we willing to do what's necessary? Get up early in the morning for a deer? Get up early in the morning for Jesus. Press in, desire, pray, read the scripture. Dude, we know the things to do. We're not ignorant of the things. You know, it's a lot easier to get up and pray. It's a lot easier to read the Word. It's a lot easier to press in prayer to Jesus, to go for Him with the heart's desire to touch Him, than it is to throw elbows, swing punches, and slap people in the face to get to Him. We don't have an excuse. We just have a heart's desire issue most of the time. We can be like the crowd and just gather and observe. We can even follow. We can even press in a little bit here and there. But it takes more than that to make contact. And it doesn't rest with the contact, the what you got to do to contact. It rests with our heart's desire. Because we all know that if we really want to do something, we're going to do it. We all know that if a person really wants to do something, there's not an obstacle that can stop them. Richie Cunningham, this was the story I was going to tell, to illustrate the point. When he was a child, he used to go out and light the stove. It was a wood stove in an old schoolhouse. This was back early 1900s or whatever, long time ago. He used to go out to the little schoolhouse, and his job was to light the fire in the potbelly stove in the schoolhouse to warm it up before everybody got there for class and the teacher and stuff. Well, he did this one morning, and an accident happened, and it caught the schoolhouse on fire, and he got caught in the building, and he got burned really, really bad. I mean, so bad that it fused his legs together. It melted the skin and the muscles and whatever, and his legs were actually fused together where he couldn't walk. And so they ended up, and it done more damage than that to the muscles and everything else. I mean, this was a serious burn. The doctors were able to separate his legs and whatever, and still couldn't walk. Severely damaged muscle and all that stuff. And so basically, you know, of course, then the doctor said, you're never going to walk again. And he couldn't walk. But he determined that when he got back and it got healed up enough to, it wasn't open wounds and all that kind of a thing. What he used to do is he would go light the stove every morning. He would go out in his yard, and around his house was a white picket fence or a picket fence. Doesn't matter. But there was a picket fence all the way around his yard, and he would go out every morning because in his heart, all he wanted to do was walk. Just like that lady, I want to touch him. He wanted to walk again. So he went out every day and spent several hours a day. He couldn't walk, so he would drag himself out there, pull himself up on the fence, and grab picket after picket after picket. And he drug himself around that fence so long and so much that it wore a smooth path all the way around the inside of the fence from him doing that. Till one day he was able to stand up, and then he was able to take a step and walk a little bit. So on and so forth, and he began to be able to walk. Then finally he was able to run. Do you know who Richie Cunningham is? He won an Olympic gold medal for running later in life. Not just one, he broke a record. A world record, set a real world record that lasted a long time for it. It's all about what we want. Do we want him? He wanted to walk. He defied all odds just to walk. I'm not saying it's not a big deal. We all love to, walking's a big deal. But Jesus is a much bigger deal. Relationship with the Holy Spirit's a whole lot bigger deal. But what we generally do is go, that's for so-and-so, or this, that, and the other. Well, really, let's boil it down and make it plain, because when we stand before the King of Heaven, there's going to be clear everything. Our excuses will not hold water then. So I'm warning you now, those excuses that we have will not hold water before the King of Kings, because he's going to look at one thing. He's going to look at whether or not we have a relationship with him. Whether we had one. And that relationship boils down to a heart's desire on two ends. One, God, who's always willing, who sent His only begotten Son to die for us, shed His blood, be tortured for us, to show and illustrate how much He loves us and how much He wants a relationship with us. On His end, the picket fence dragging to walk and whatever it took to walk again, heart attitude is there, has always been there. He illustrated that so clearly in the gospel through giving His Son. And everything He's told us, His heart's desire is to be with us, is for us, is to touch us. The issue is never whether or not He's willing to heal. The issue is never whether or not He's willing to have a relationship with us. The issue is never on His end. He's made that abundantly clear. The issue is always with us. We can be a part of the crowd. We can just gather. We can just observe. We can half-heartedly go, well, that's nice. But it's those of us who choose. It's a choice. To have that attitude. If it takes me dragging myself, picket after picket, whatever it takes, Jesus, I want You. I want a relationship with You. I want something real. I want to touch You. I want You in my heart and in my life. I don't want to just be a follower. I don't want to just be gathering. I don't even want to just be pressing in from time to time. I want You. I want to touch You. Because you know what? If we touch Him, everything changes. Every time we touch Him. Salvation radically changes our life when we touch Him. When we receive a healing, it radically changes our life. I recently met a man who was an alcoholic for years and other things. Just a lot of issues in his life. And he told me this story about a neighbor lady who came over and she'd been witnessing to him and this, that, and the other. And he was dying of liver failure. He was in the last stages. He was going. And this neighbor lady walked over and she would visit with him, bring him cookies and do different things. And she asked him one day, she said, could I pray for you to be healed? I believe God can heal you. Well, he was drunk at the time. He was not sober. And so he's like, well, I guess. Well, what he didn't know was she wanted to drag him across the fence to her house. Not drag him, but, you know, wanted him to come over there. So the next day she set an appointment. She invited a whole bunch of her older friends, a bunch of elderly ladies that had a prayer group. And they all gathered together in the house. And he agreed to come. And he came over the next day. And, of course, the next day he wasn't sober here because he drank every day, all day. So he's over there and he's not that necessarily sober, but he's willing to sit there or willing to go. He does not realize what he's walking into. Okay. And he told me this story himself. So he walks over there and he sits down and he walks in the room and there's all these elderly ladies standing there and they got a chair in the middle of the room in the living room of the house. And they're like, sit down. So he sits down and they start to praying. Well, 20 minutes go by. 30 minutes go by, an hour go by, 2 hours, long time. But those elderly ladies knew something. They knew you had to go past gathering. They knew that you had to go past following. They knew that you had to go even past pressing in. You had to go until you touched Jesus. He had no idea. He didn't know that. But somewhere in that length of time, he didn't get up and leave. He told me that. He said, I don't know why I didn't get up and leave, but I didn't. He said, after a while, I wanted to be there. I don't know why. He walked out of there. I don't even know if he knew the time. We're talking 5-6 hours. Whatever it was. It was a long time. It was a whole day. He walked out of there in the evening. Went in the morning. But somewhere toward the end there, he felt heat in his lower back or wherever the liver is. He felt heat there. Color came back. He felt better. Started feeling better. Strength came back. That was years ago. Went to his doctor the next week. He came out of there healed. Went to his doctor the next week. The doctor had documented, had seen, had told him, your liver's failing. You're in the last stages of it. Make your preparations. All of that. The next week after that, he goes to his doctor to be checked, which was routine. It was already scheduled before. The doctor comes out and he's freaked out. He's like, your liver looks brand new. There's nothing wrong with your liver. What did you do? What happened? Then, of course, the doctor starts questioning, well, maybe our equipment's faulty, maybe this, maybe that, maybe whatever. No. Somebody wanted to touch him. Not even for themselves. For this old drunk next door. You know what I'm saying? We've got to be willing to press through. We've got to have a heart's desire to do what it takes to make contact with God. And the Holy Spirit is right here, right now, and He's just as real as Jesus was walking through that crowd. So we've got to ask ourselves that question. Are we there? Are we willing to press through? Are we at that place? And you guys, if you'd stand, I would just want to pray. That's it. That's all I want to say. As far as the message, I feel like God's saying that. You know what God's looking for? He's looking for the people that really want Him. Do you get that? The message is simply this. He's looking for the people that really want a relationship with Him. That's really what it's about. At the end of the day, at the end of eternity, throughout all of time, He's looking for those of us who really want Him. And if we really want Him, it shows in our actions. We're willing to climb any mountain. We're willing to press through any crowd. We're willing to do whatever in the most uncomfortable things to get to Him. So Jesus, I just ask you right now to make this a reality. Make this a reality, God. The heart's desire for you is what it's all about. You're looking for those who love you, who really, really love you. And those of us who are not there, you want us to be there. You want us to change our heart and mind and be there. Pursue you. Go for it. Let the reality sink in to not just be a spectator, but to be, God, those who want a relationship with you through your Holy Spirit, and to realize that all we have to do is press through and touch, make contact with you. And it's possible. But all we need is a heart of faith that says, if I can just make contact with you, this will be healed. If I can just make contact with you, I'll be free from this sin. I'll be free from this issue. If I can just make contact with you, everything will change. So this morning, I just want to put this out there. If that's this morning, if that's you, if you feel like you're there and you just want to make contact with him, then come up to this altar and let's pray together. You know, I thought about it last night. It's just, I don't know. I just thought about it. Why did God make it where when his Holy Spirit come that the disciples would, what's called the laying on of hands, they would pray for one another. They would pray for people. They would lay hands on a shoulder or whatever, a head, whatever they did. The laying on of hands. Because it's making contact. There's something about making contact. Why do we open up this altar? Why do we believe in laying hands on to pray for people? Why do we believe in gathering circles and holding hands? Why do we believe about in laying a hand on a shoulder or laying a hand on your head or whatever it is? Because making that contact is biblical. It's in the book of Acts. It's what they did. There's something about making contact. There's faith involved. It's uncomfortable sometimes, yes, but that's the point. It's uncomfortable to beat your way through a crowd to get to Jesus to get your healing. It's uncomfortable to press through whatever things it takes. It requires effort. But if our heart desires Him, if our heart desires relationship with Jesus, then we'll do whatever it takes. We'll go through any effort.
I just wanted to say something really quickly. Sometimes in our relationship with God, we're going good, we're going, you know, we're comfortable, we feel like we're moving forward, and then suddenly we hit a stopping point where it almost feels like we plateau. That could be for different reasons. That could be because, you know what, Jesus wants to take us a little deeper. And when he takes us deeper, what happens is he begins to dig in the ground of our hearts. And he begins to say, you know what, there's a little bit of unforgiveness here you need to deal with. There's a little bit of self-loathing you need to deal with right here. There's a little bit of unworthiness that you've kind of fallen in line with, where I want to deal with. And so what happens is in that moment, we have a choice again, whether to just be a follower, a gatherer. Because when we try to press in that moment, when the Holy Spirit has revealed things to us, it suddenly feels awkward. It suddenly feels different. It suddenly feels like, you know what I've done before in the past no longer works. Because what Jesus wants to do is he wants to show you a different way of touching him. And that freedom that comes through that touching releases you to say, you know what, Jesus, I forgive this person. Jesus, I no longer want to live in self-loathing. I no longer want to walk in unworthiness and shame and guilt. So, if you in your spiritual life and in your relationship with Jesus have reached a plateau, ask yourself and ask Jesus, are you trying to teach me a new way? Are you unearthing things in my heart to deal with? Because the fact is we serve a holy God, and man, is he awesome. But he loves us so much that he's like, okay, Paula, deal with the rejection in this area so you can experience me a little more. as Rick has said too, if you're pressing in to touch him and for some reason it just doesn't feel right, say, Jesus, reveal the thing that you're unearthing in my life and in my heart. And just FYI, that will go on for the rest of our lives. It's not a quick fix. It's not, you know what, I've reached salvation, I believe that I love him, and then suddenly we have nothing else to deal with in our heart. Unfortunately, we live. There's constantly opportunities to be offended. There's constantly opportunities for me to believe a lie or not. Constantly, right? So if you would, just bow your heads. Just say in your heart to him, Jesus, deal with those issues. Those things that you have unearthed in me. Those things that you are digging up for me to deal with. Give me courage to face them and take them out. Jesus, I pray for those of us, Lord God, that are dealing with unforgiveness, Lord. I thank you, God, that it does not mean that the person who hurt us was in the right just because we forgive them. It simply means that I love you more. Jesus, give us a tenacity to see those things in our heart and in our life and say, you know what? I'm not settling for that anymore. And I'm not going to use the excuse of, you know what? I've tried. I'm doing my best. Lord God, you have more for us than that. And Jesus, right now, I take authority over mind control. Lord God, I thank you that we have the mind of Christ, that you have put your mind within us, Jesus. Shape it according to your purposes and your plan in Jesus' name.